जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनपल्लव गिरिवर धारी गोपी जनपल्लव गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना थीरा बनचारी जमुना थीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन पल्लव गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन पल्लव गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना थीरा बनचारी जमुना थीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सुत श्री श्रीमार ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कान फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सुत श्री श्रीमार श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय अनंति कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय
प्रेम सिकहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशि गौर भक्त बिंद की जाय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम खुंद राधा खुंद गिदी गोवर्धन की जाय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जाय। श्री मायापुर नावद्वीप धाम की जाय। श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जाय। मथुरा धाम की जाय। द्वारका धाम की जाय। गंगा माई की जाय। यमुना माई की जाय। भक्ति देवी की जाय। तुलसी देवी की जाय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जाय। गौ प्रेमानंदी। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ऐश्वरं शास्त्रम् उत्सृज्य बन्धमोक्षानुदर्शनम् विविक्तपदम् अज्ञाय किम् असत् कर्मभिर्भवेत्। ऐश्वरं शास्त्रम् उत्सृज्य बन्धमोक्षानुदर्शनम् विविक्तपदम् अज्ञाय किम् असत् कर्मभिर्भवेत्। ऐश्वरं शास्त्रम् उत्सृज्य बन्धमोक्षानुदर्शनम् विविक्तपदमज्ञाय किम् असत् कर्मभिर्भवेत्।
Thank you. Aishwaram.
Bringing understanding of God or Krishna consciousness. Shastram, the Vedic literature. Utsrijya, giving up. Bandha, of bondage. Moksha, end of liberation. Anudarshanam, informing about the ways. Viviktapadam, distinguishing spirit from matter. Agyai, not knowing. Kim asat karma bi bhavet, what can be the use of temporary fruitive activities? Narada Muni had spoken of a swan. That swan is explained in this verse. The Vedic literature shastras vividly described how to understand the Supreme Lord, the source of all material and spiritual energy. Indeed, they elaborately explain these two energies. The swan, Hamsa, is one who discriminates between matter and spirit, who accepts the essence of everything, and who explains the means of bondage and the means of liberation. The words of scriptures consist of variegated vibrations. If a foolish rascal leaves aside the study of these shastras to engage in temporary activities, what will be the result? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Krishna consciousness movement is very eager to present Vedic literature in modern languages, especially Western languages such as English, French, and German. The leaders of the Western world, the Americans and Europeans, have become the idols of modern civilization because the Western people are very sophisticated in temporary activities for the advancement of material civilization. A sane man, however, can see that all such grand activities, although perhaps very important for temporary life, have nothing to do with eternal life. The entire world is imitating the materialistic civilization of the West. And therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is very much interested in giving the Western people knowledge by translating the original Sanskrit literatures into Western languages. The word Viviktapadam refers to the path of logical discourses concerning the aim of life. If one does not discuss that which is important in life, one is put into darkness and must struggle for existence. What then is the benefit of his advancement in knowledge? The people of the West are seeing their students becoming hippies, despite gorgeous arrangements for university education. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is trying to convert misguided, drug-addicted students to the service of Krishna and engage them in the best welfare activities for human society. Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Vilidham Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta
Swami Niti Namine, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschatyadeshatharine, Bansha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripasindubhya Evacha, Patitanam Bhavanibhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We are reading from Canto 6 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 5, entitled Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Text 18. Srila Prabhupada boarded Jaladuta, an old beaten cargo ship in Calcutta. Years later, I met a captain of the Jaladuta, not the same captain, because Jaladuta for many years went back and forth. He told me that in 1965 it was already a very old and beaten ship, because I asked where it was, and he said not long after that it was scrapped. So Srila Prabhupada, on board that ship for well over a month, when he was approaching the Boston Harbor, he wrote those beautiful prayers. Whether he ever planned those prayers to be published and sung by people all over the world for all time to come, we don't really know. But it seems like it was a very personal, intimate prayer to Lord Krishna. And therein, he's praying to Krishna to give him the words to speak so that it will be understandable to people in the Western world where he was going, so that their lives could be transformed and they would be happy. He was expressing what we could consider the foundational principle of the Hare Krishna movement. He was totally humbling himself before Krishna. I do not know how to reach them, only if you give me the words. In that prayer, we find the true principle of our parampara, that Srila Prabhupada deeply cared about all these people everywhere. He wanted them to truly be happy. He could understand that the people of the West, so many, were finding flickering happiness by trying to manipulate the three modes of material nature. But for him, that was not happiness at all. It was suffering. Without understanding the eternal nature of the soul, without understanding the beauty, the sweetness, the love of Krishna, there is no true happiness.
All happiness, dukkalaya mashashvate, only leads to suffering because of its temporary nature. He was coming to the wealthiest country in the world at the time, and he only had 40 rupees, which he couldn't change. But he cared. He deeply cared. For you, for me, for everyone. One time a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, what is our qualification for receiving this great knowledge? Srila Prabhupada was very humble and honest. He said, you have no qualifications. Then he ended by saying, I made your qualifications. That means he really saw within us the potential to be Krishna conscious. And he was willing to sacrifice leaving Vrindavan, coming on a cargo ship, and ultimately going to New York City, living in Bowery, Lower East Side, because he really cared. He explained when he first came on the boat, his plan was more or less to make things like Gaudiya Math was in India, brahmachari ashrams. When he came to America, he saw everything as an opportunity. Of all places, he went to Butler, Pennsylvania. Somebody from the Traveler's Aid collected him at the port in New York and put him on a bus alone. And he was picked up in, I think, Pittsburgh and brought to Butler. Now, that's not a place to start an international movement. If it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada, probably nobody in the world would even know Butler, Pennsylvania exists. Except for a few people who live in Butler. But his friend in Agra, Mr. Agarwal's son, sponsored him to come. And he was married to an American woman. It's really interesting when you... Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture. He was talking about how he actually came to America. He said he was living in Vrindavan at Sri Radha Damodar Temple at Seva Kunj. And he was giving some talk at Mr. Agarwal's house in Agra. And Mr. Agarwal was really frustrated because he considered he failed as a parent. He said, my son, Gopal, I sent him to America to go to college, and he got trapped by an American woman. So Prabhupada tells like this. And now he's living there, living like that. Please, what can I do? Pray for him. And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, can he get me a visa? So... Mr. Agarwal didn't say a word. He was actually shocked by Srila Prabhupada's response. But then after some time while living in Vrindavan, he got a letter from the American embassy saying that you're being sponsored to have a visa. So he took the opportunity. He went to Mumbai and convinced Sumati Maharaji to give him a free passage on the ship. So now he's in Butler, Pennsylvania. And they put him in the YMCA hotel. That's usually where really, really poor people stay. And he would go to the house of the Agarwals. And he said, I studied Sally Agarwal. Because she was kind of the first American he was really associating with. Prabhupada gave the example, if you want to understand Haribol, if you want to understand the ocean, you can take one drop and analyze, and you get an idea of what the whole ocean is. So here was his drop of America's consciousness, Sally Agarwal. Christian lady, very materialistic, just doing what people do in Butler, Pennsylvania. But he was inquiring from her. When he would see her, how she washed clothes at the laundromat, he was looking, this is how Americans wash clothes? Things go... There's this story where every morning in the bathroom of the Agarwal house, there would be all this noise. And then water would come out from under the door and flood the carpet of the living room. And Sally Agarwal, you know, there's this very esteemed elderly Swami from India who was a guest of her father-in-law. So she was very timid. She didn't know what to do. She was culture shocked. One day she just had to ask, Swamiji, you know, why so much water is coming out and why all this noise? What are you doing in there? He said, I'm washing my clothes. And I'm taking bath. And she said, well, you know, why all the water's coming out? So he showed her how he took his bath, just like in India. You fill the tub with water, you stand outside, you have a lota, and you come out. She said, Swamiji, that's not how we take baths. He said, what? This is the way everyone takes baths. He said, no, you're supposed to stand in the bathtub. And Prabhupada said, in the bathtub? You actually stand in the... In India, it's not done like that. And what is all this noise? He said, I'm washing my clothes. And he would, you know, take the water from the tub and put it out on the bathroom floor, and then he would beat it. She said, that's not the way we wash clothes in America. He said, how do you do? So she took him to a laundromat. And he saw this, and then he said, he was amazed. So he was studying. And one day he's there cooking and he hears, what is that? And he comes out and he sees her with the vacuum cleaner. He says, what is this? She said, it's a vacuum cleaner. This is how we clean our floors. You need a machine to clean your floors. But he studied her, and he won her heart. How much philosophy he spoke to her, I'm not really sure, certainly some. But years later, in Butler, Pennsylvania, we had an event, our Nitai Prabhu, who has recently passed away, one of Tukaram Prabhu's best friends, he organized this event. It was at the YMCA. And he got Sally and Gopal Agarwal to come. They hadn't met devotees, I don't know how long, but she had a whole pile of original letters that Srila Prabhupada was writing to her after he went to New York. And she was just explaining she never met a man who cared about her so much. He was just such a saintly person. She didn't convert. She was still a Christian. But she was totally transformed in a certain way by Srila Prabhupada's association. And after Prabhupada went to New York, for quite some time, they were exchanging letters, and she was helping in so many ways. Prabhupada was really engaging her in devotional service. But he got some understanding of who he was going to be preaching to when he came to the West. And when he came to New York, then it was really something else. The counterculture. Later on in San Francisco, a television reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, "Can you tell me?" Prabhupada said that the hippies are we are making the hippies Krishna conscious. And he said how the American civilization, so many big institutions and so much money, and people are becoming hippies. And the reporter said, "What is a hippie?" And Prabhupada said, "Something extraordinary." He said, "You know better than me." For Srila Prabhupada, we were extraordinary. Srila Prabhupada said, "He is making hippies into happies." So Srila Prabhupada saw that the mixing of young boys and girls. So he made certain arrangements to encourage the ladies, just like the men. He started performing marriages. He writes many times that swamis usually don't perform marriages, but there was no one else who could do it at the time. Srila Prabhupada would cook for the devotees, he would clean for the devotees. And some of the first devotees that actually came to help him, One of our godbrothers told me that Srila Prabhupada was doing all the cooking and all the cleaning and all the everything. He was 71 years old at the time. And they were just eating and leaving. And then Prabhupada would have kirtan and give some talk, which most of them couldn't really understand so much. But they loved him and they loved the food. And they loved the chanting. And they were trying to understand the philosophy. At one time, one of the devotees, or one of the guests at the time, said, "Could I help you to cook?" And Srila Prabhupada's response, "I was just waiting for someone to ask that question." And then he gave him so much service. But he didn't ask anyone. He just conquered their hearts by his kindness, until they were enthused to serve. And then he engaged them in service. Our godbrother Hayagriva Prabhu, he was an English professor. So Srila Prabhupada asked him, do you know editing? Can you help me?" And Hayagriva, who was then Howard, he said, "Yes, I would be happy to." He was expecting one or two pages. He went to Prabhupada's little room, and Prabhupada opened a trunk and took out a stack of manuscripts about this big that were all tied together with twine rope. And he said, "You can start with this." It was hundreds of pages. And then he opened some more trunks and he said, "And when you're done, we have all of this." So he volunteered. And Srila Prabhupada, to the really early devotees, they wanted to understand and accept the philosophy because they loved him so much. And why did they love him so much? Because they never felt anyone loved them so much. In those days, the whole older generation rejected the counterculture. And here was someone who was older than their parents, who just loved them and concerned for, and cooked for them and chanted for them and spoke to them. They opened their hearts. and therefore they were really receptive to whatever he spoke. And because the Siddhanta, the philosophy, was so exalted and so deep and so comprehensive to answer all their questions, they completely accepted it. And they just wanted to serve because they wanted to please him. That's how our movement began. And Srila Prabhupada would often tell us that we are in the disciplic succession of Narada Muni. So today's verse is about Narada Muni. Narada Muni's preaching is really extraordinary. In today's verse, the Haryashvas, they're the sons of Daksha. Now, Daksha is an extremely powerful personality. We read in the fourth canto how he married his daughter Sati to Lord Shiva. And when Lord Shiva came into the assembly where Daksha was performing some assembled yajna, all the great sages, rishis, and the demigods stood in honor of Daksha. He was very learned, very beautiful, extremely powerful. So he sent his sons to perform tapasya for the singular purpose of helping him as a prajapati, or a progenitor of population. He had it all arranged for them to get married and have many, many children. So the Haryashvas were very cultured people. They respected, they honored their father, and they were going for that purpose. And Narada Muni came. So if he just said, your father's in Maya, he's materially entangled, they may have become very disturbed. So he didn't say that. He started speaking this allegory about a male and a female and a swan. It's a very in-depth, complicated allegory, actually. And they were listening very carefully. And as they were opening their hearts to hear it, they came to their own conclusion. Our father's in Maya. And with all respect to their father, they became brahmacharis. And Daksha was really frustrated. So he had some more children and sent them and told them, don't listen to this Narada Muni. And Narada Muni came to them and told them about how happy their brothers were. And they became brahmacharis. Daksha was so angry. Now, we may have our idea of Daksha, but please know there is no one in the earth planet that even is a minute particle of the power and prowess of Daksha. He's a deva. He's giving birth to all these different species of life. So he cursed Narada Muni. First he blasphemed him terribly. Then he cursed him that you can never stay in one place. Because everything is relative. For Daksha, having a home and having a secure place is the most important part of life. So he was actually depriving Narada Muni of what he considered so important. But Narada Muni, he had no selfishness. He was just serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he really cared about people. So he took it as a blessing. Wonderful. Now I never have to settle down. Even if somebody tries to get me to settle down, I can say, no, no, I'm cursed. I have to.
Narada Muni Bhajai Vinarati Karamana Name.
He's always traveling, playing his veena, chanting the names of Sri Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada said, we are in the parampara of Narada Muni. So let's examine some of the ways that Narada Muni transformed people, because he cared so much. Compassion is the basis of a Vaishnava. There was a hunter named Ratnakar, and he was killing animals, and killing people. He was a killer. We all know the story. Narada Muni tried to enlighten him. He cared about him. Nobody else cared about this hunter. Everybody hated him. Everybody feared him. But here comes somebody who really cares about him. So he had to listen to what he had to say. And somehow or other, he enlightened Ratnakar in what the karmic consequences of his activities. And he told him, you have to chant the names of God. But he was so sinful, he couldn't chant the name of God. Can you imagine? Do you know anybody that's so sinful? So Narada Muni, he could have just said, well, you are just off the charts, forget it. There's nothing I can do for you. He cared. So he used his good intelligence. Chant the name of the Lord of Death, Mara. Now, if there were orthodox people around, they would say, Narada Muni, what are you doing? That's the name of a demigod. That's an offense. He wasn't equating. He was just, this is what you're able to do. Just chant the name of death, Mara. And Ratnakar was chanting the name of Mara for quite a long time. But he was following the instructions of a great soul. And because he opened his heart to appreciate Narada Muni and try to follow his instructions, Mara became Rama. Ma Rama, 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 Rama. But not so. He was doing it for months before it came Rama. So it wasn't something immediate. But Narada Muni had such great faith in the process. And he had such care. He ended up so engrossed in chanting the name of Ram that ants built an anthill around him. And Narada Muni came back to see how this hunter was doing, and he couldn't find him anywhere, and he just heard Ram, 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 Ram from an anthill. So he threw some sacred water in the anthill, and the hill went away, and there was Narada Muni gave him the name Valmiki, which means one who comes out of an anthill. So this is definitely what we would call bridge preaching. From Mara to Rama. And he did it. We find Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was so obsessed with revenge, he wanted a kingdom greater than his father or grandfather. Maharaj Uttanapada and Swayambhuva Manu. And he went to the forest for that. His heart was wounded. He was angry. He saw his mother suffer, and this was too much for him. Narada Muni tested him. Now, Narada Muni only teaches pure devotional service. But according to time, place, and circumstance, he needed to bring Dhruva to the point where he could actually appreciate pure devotional service. He told him to go to a holy place, Madhuban, one of the forests of Vrindavan. And he gave him the holy name of Krishna, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. He was
there in Madhuban, worshipping the deity form of Krishna from the mud of the Yamuna bank. He was meditating on the form of Krishna. He was chanting the names of Krishna, all for a very, very materialistic purpose. But Narada Muni knew, because he was appreciated Narada Muni, and Narada Muni really cared, he knew that just by chanting the holy names and being in a sacred place, he would be transformed. He had that faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. And he was transformed. Just by Narada Muni's compassion upon him, he was transformed. And Narada Muni had patience. He didn't immediately just accept pure devotional service. But in time, he did. And when Lord Narayan came before him, he offered Dhruva, "I'll give you what you want." Dhruva Maharaj said, "I just want to remember you and be the servant of your servant. I came looking for broken glass and I have received the diamond of your loving devotional service." And a descendant of Dhruva Maharaj was Maharaj Prachini Barhishat. He was a great king. Now here's a young boy who's really angry. That's Dhruva. Here's an outcast hunter and killer, Valmiki. And now a great king from an exalted dynasty. Now kings are usually pretty proud, even if they're respectful to Brahmins and sadhus. So he was performing sacrifices for very materialistic fruitive activities. And if Narada Muni just said to the king, "You're in Maya," the king probably would have respectfully just shut him off within and performed the formalities of honoring a sage. But Narada Muni knows we have to open the hearts of people. So he knew that materialistic people like gossip. It's really popular. So he said, "I'm going to tell you the story of another king." And he was really talking about this king as being in illusion. And he was listening. And there are so many chapters in which Narada Muni is speaking, and at the very end, King Prachini Barhishat listened attentively to everything he said and ultimately came to the conclusion, "You're speaking about me." Narada Muni, yes. But his heart was transformed. So these beautiful stories, which describe, you know, our parampara, were very much imbibed by Srila Prabhupada. Malati Devi is here. She was a personal eyewitness to extraordinary events. The Avalon Ballroom. Definitely, without doubt, Srila Prabhupada was the first sannyasi in Gaudiya Vaishnav history to have the Grateful Dead and Big Brother and the Holding Company and Moby Grape and all of these Jefferson Airplane playing with him. People, some of them were naked, some of them were on LSD. Prabhupada turned to one devotee when he was on stage, and he said, "This is no place for a brahmachari." So we cannot imitate Srila Prabhupada. But that was the extent that he wanted to reach these people.
and our god brother Shamsundar Prabhu. He's writing a book about his experiences with Srila Prabhupada. And one day I was in New Dwarka in Los Angeles, and he called me on the phone. He lives in Topanga Canyon. And he said, there's another call. I'll call you back. Can you hold on? And I said, no, just take the call and call me back. And he said, I'll call you back in 2 minutes. He called me back 2 hours later. And he was so excited, because he's writing a book and he's trying to get information and interviews. He said, you won't believe who called me. I said, who called you? He said, Rock Scully. And he was expecting some incredibly awesome reaction from me. Well, my reaction is, who's that? He said, you don't know Rock Scully? I said, I don't know who he is. And he told me he was a roommate of his in Geneva, Switzerland. And it's a long story. I'm not going to get into that, but the other roommate was a student of Timothy Leary in Harvard, who got expelled from the university for taking LSD. But Rock Scully went back to San Francisco to start Haight Ashbury. And he was the manager of a band that later he named the Grateful Dead. And the Avalon Ballroom was very much because Shamsundar knew him. He said, we want to make a concert for my guru. He's coming. He said, yes. He called the Avalon Ballroom. He called the Grateful Dead. And then he said, all the other bands will come if I'm there. And so it was arranged. So he wanted to interview. And it's interesting, the main remembrance of Srila Prabhupada that Rock Scully had. He said, in Haight Ashbury, all the gurus from India were coming. But Srila Prabhupada was the only one that lived with us. He was one of us. Even though he was so pure and he was so saintly, he accepted us. We could just go to his room and speak to him. He said, he was one of us. That's how Srila Prabhupada cared. And that's very much how our movement was established. People like that. He may not have become a devotee in this life as we understand, but Srila Prabhupada engaged him in incredible services, which actually attracted so many other people who did become completely transformed in Krishna consciousness. So as was discussed so many times yesterday, because I saw notes from all the different seminars, Srila Prabhupada never changed the Siddhanta, the pure teachings of bhakti. But he opened doors so that people could actually come to understand it and to practice the process by which they could realize it. If we in any way tamper with the Siddhanta, we have really no place to bring people. Through our sadhana, through our satsang, association, you know, we're meant to get to develop realizations of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada would say, do as I am doing, to follow in the footsteps. Like Narada Muni, we only have one goal, to bring people to the state of pure, unalloyed devotional service. But how to bring people from their conditioned state to understand and appreciate what that is. Srila Prabhupada would often glorify Lord Nityananda. How our movement is following in the footsteps of Lord Nityananda. Of course, the most prominent story of his preaching were Jagai and Madhai. Very powerful story. Everybody around was telling Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas, don't go near these two brothers, they are really dangerous. They would personally kill cows and cook it and eat it and drink the blood, and they would kill people, and they would rape any woman, including the daughters and wives of Brahmins. They were robbers. Everyone feared because they would light people's houses on fire for no, that was their sense gratification. They were serious terrorists. Sometimes in our dramas, we make them look like really foolish drunkards, but that's not at all what Jagai and Madhai. They were drunkards, but they were Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, with all their power and anger and envy. They were Ravana and Kumbhakarna, come again. They were dangerous and cruel. Lord Nityananda came right up to them. Told them to chant Krishna's names and worship Krishna and serve Krishna and tell others about Krishna. Krishna's your mother and your father. He's your true wealth. He's your life and soul. And they chased after to kill him. But he cared about them because he understood. He told Haridas Thakur, if they become devotees, then the world will really appreciate Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He wasn't doing anything for himself. Even when Jagai and Madhai were chasing Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda, Haridas said, now, Nityananda Prabhu said, that you were beaten in 22 marketplaces and Krishna saved you, so you should pray to Krishna to save us now. And Nityananda and Haridas Thakur said, no, you're so crazy, you asked these people to chant Hare Krishna. Now they're going to kill us. And Nityananda said, I'm not crazy. I'm just following orders. Nowhere else in history has anybody, a Brahmin, giving orders, go to every house and every person without discrimination and give them Krishna's names. He said, it's our master, Lord Chaitanya. But Nityananda Prabhu understood Lord Chaitanya was bringing so many people to bhakti, but many people were criticizing and couldn't understand. But if Jagai and Madhai becomes devotees, what a glorification that will be. So even after being chased by these most powerful monsters, Nityananda Prabhu went back to them alone. And Madhai took that pot, smashed him with all of his strength, and Nityananda Prabhu was bleeding. And he just kept preaching to them, I don't mind what you've done to me, but it hurts me to see your condition. At that point, Jagai was completely transformed. He accepted the philosophy that Nityananda was giving because this person, he really cares about us. And he told Madhai, don't hit him again. Madhai was about to try to kill him again. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appeared with his Sudarshan Chakra, they understood that death personified was before them. And Nityananda prayed, give them your mercy. Give them love for Krishna. Jagai saved my life. And they were Dina Hina Yata Chilo Harinama Udarilo Tara Sakshi Jagai Madai. Narottam Das Thakur explains, they are an example of the greatness of the holy name. 500 years, we're still chanting this beautiful line of this song. The testimony of the holy name and the testimony of the mercy of a Vaishnava is in the deliverance of Jagai and Madai. So yes, they were bought to the path of pure unalloyed devotional service. But what brought them? What was that bridge by which they can open their hearts to receive the mercy of the Lord? It was the unconditional compassion of a great Vaishnava. And we may not have that compassion, but if we really study and understand Srila Prabhupada's compassion and try to assist him as an instrument, we cannot imitate, but try to somehow or other connect . In the past, I've told a story. Years and years ago, I happened to see somebody just walking around completely spaced out at a temple. And nobody was paying any attention to this person. And I just walked up to him, and I asked who he was, he told me. And he said he was there for many hours and he was completely bewildered because nobody talked to him. And I asked, he was from the south of southern states. And I asked him, how did you come here? And he told me his story. He was a welder of the highest level of precision. He was going to the top of skyscrapers and welding the steel. So he was making a lot of money. And he was on a job and he had he was washing his clothes in a laundromat. It's really an interesting story. And he said as his clothes were being washed, he was eating a watermelon. Gets really interesting. And he was spitting the seeds in the garbage can. Gets even more interesting. So as he was spitting the seeds, the watermelon slipped out of his hands and fell into the garbage can. And I guess he was really attached to that watermelon. Because he put his hands in to try to get it, and he pulled it out. And he said, but it was a book. It was the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he was thinking, God, I guess I'm supposed to read this. And he started reading it. And he said, he told me he's following four regulative principles. He said, he's chanting. He didn't know how to pronounce it. He said, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, 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 Hare. But he said he was chanting it all day because it says there that, you know, Satatam Kirtayam, you should always chant the names of God. So he didn't have japa beads. He was just chanting all day while he was welding. And he said his life was completely transformed. And he said Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead and he's not impersonal. He was telling me all these things. And he never met a devotee in his life. He never went to a temple in his life. And when he finally did, like go to some place to try to find out where he can, he found this place and he went to a temple and the devotees were all too busy for him. So I just talked to him for a few minutes, and he said to me, I want to surrender everything. I said, well, you know, how can I assist you? And he took me down. He said, can you drive with me? He just had this little Honda and a little tiny car. And this is years ago. And he brought me to this place where he had this motorhome. Those big motorhomes, like a trailer. And it was on the back of a truck. He said, I'd like to give all this. And I said, okay. We were driving. And then he said, there's something under my seat, too. And it was like $20,000. I said, you sure you want to give all this? He said, yeah, that's what the Bhagavad Gita says. We're supposed to surrender everything. So anyways, I try to, you know, before you give it, make sure you're happy here. But that's how he was affected. And it happened just to eating a watermelon. It wasn't even offered. So Srila Prabhupada has given us so many wonderful tools to reach people's hearts. And he really cared. And we should really try to meditate on what will please him is understanding his compassion for fallen souls and somehow or other reaching them. Like Narada Muni, whether they were hunters or emperors of the world or little children who were really angry, he brought them to the path through very creative, innovative ways, too. But they were based on a simple principle. People actually appreciating the association of devotees really opens our hearts to receive the knowledge, to receive the Siddhanta of bhakti. This wonderful conference that's happening here is so beautiful, and I'm seeing so many glorious God sisters and God brothers who are coming together. Bhaja Narayan Maharaj, my dandavats to you, Gopal Bhatta Prabhu. For the simple purpose, how to assist Srila Prabhupada and our parampara to somehow or other reach people's hearts to transform them. Where, whatever their position, whatever their situation, how to open the doors and bring them through that door. Bridge means to bring someone somewhere. We have to have the right place to bring them. And then we have to actually understand people and be relevant to them. Srila Prabhupada is explaining here in this particular purport, the people of the West are seeing their students becoming hippies despite gorgeous arrangements for university education. Now when Srila Prabhupada brought these hippies back to India, he had a whole nother way of reaching the Indian people. Those people were totally engrossed in economic development. So how to get them to recognize the glory of their own culture, pure devotional service? So Srila Prabhupada, he did what worked to bring people to that true essence. And in many, you know, in the 1960s and 70s, the hippie movement was primarily the people who were coming to the Krishna consciousness movement. But these days, it's not like so many people are becoming social activists and civil rights activists and anti-war activists and leaving colleges and becoming hippies. So many people are really going to college with serious economic goals. So how to reach those who are becoming hippies and how to reach those who are the future leaders of the world? Srila Prabhupada understood how to make Krishna consciousness relevant to his audience. It begins in many ways by making ourselves individually and collectively relevant to people. Because unless we become relevant to people, that they are unlikely to really try to understand. In many ways, the greatest book distributors, even in the moment they would meet people, somehow they would personally become relevant to that person to give them enough confidence to buy the book. And then they gave them Krishna, they gave them Prabhupada. And so many people, when they would come to the temples, the devotees cared about them so much. And they were living together on such a high principle. Yes, what's in the books, I want to live by this. This conference is a wonderful step forward where we could really share our realizations and share our united aspiration to be the servants of Srila Prabhupada and Narada Muni. And at the end of this chapter, Srila Prabhupada said that just as Daksha cursed Narada Muni for taking his sons to the path of renunciation, similarly, many parents are cursing me. And therefore I cannot settle down to write these books. I'm always traveling. So I'm asking my disciples and my preachers and my leaders to take this curse on my behalf and travel and spread this movement so I can be, you know, settle and complete Srimad Bhagavatam. So, as far as I understand, that's a standing order that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to take up that mood. And there are so many great souls here who are doing just that. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yesterday was Narasingha Dev's appearance day. That was really some bridge preaching too. Narada Muni went and got the wife of Hiranyakashipu. And brought him to his ashram and brought her to his ashram in the forest. Now that's controversial. You know, he's like a sannyasi and he's got the wife of Hiranyakashipu, you know she's a very beautiful woman because Hiranyakashipu wasn't into old ladies or anything. And he preached to her, knowing that the child in her womb, even though she wasn't going to remember it because she's going to go back with Hiranyakashipu soon, but he was preaching to her to reach the embryo in the womb. That was his vision. So sometimes, and Srila Prabhupada showed this,
people like Allen Ginsberg, he may not have, but through Allen Ginsberg, so many people, so many doors opened, or Rock Scully. Or in India, you know, people who, Malati Devi was there, people who were just pro-Hindus or disciples of Mayavadis. Prabhupada would engage them in service knowing that they could help to build a temple by which so many people would actually come and become devotees. Narada Muni preached to the mother, knowing that she wasn't really going to go too far, but through preaching to her and getting her faith in him, he could reach the baby in her womb. Incredible vision. And the deeper we can understand that spirit, the more we'll be empowered. Once again, thank you very much. I can't see this clock because it's so transcendental. Krishna says, time I am, but his beauty is completely transcending our ability to read the time. So we're supposed to go till 9? Would anyone like to... Any of my god brothers or god sisters like to share their realizations? Or would anyone like to ask a question? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It seems like there's a line when you're a new brahmachari to be like really strict and avoid the association of like hippies or new agers or people you're supposed to be preaching to. So you see a lot of brahmacharis being really strict and not associating. But then as you grow, then do you then try to associate with them again, or is it like it's kind of confusing for a new brahmachari?
Please don't be confused. It's important that we really deeply have good association to get spiritual strength. And then when we have great spiritual strength, with all humility, it's not that we associate with materialistic people, but we're actually able to give them Srila Prabhupada and Krishna's association. In other words, we're interacting in such a way not to receive what they have, but to share what we've been given. And just like a house needs a strong foundation, because storms come. As many of our devotees are in Nepal, where there was an earthquake. Most of the deaths are because the houses are not well built. If they don't have a strong foundation, they cave in when there's this type of shaking. People die. So if we're in the presence, because this world is like an earthquake, and when we go out and try to spread this message, there's going to be earthquakes. And unless we have a strong foundation, then we could really be injured. Yes? So it's very, and our foundation is the association of very sincere people who enliven and inspire us in our sadhana, chanting 16 rounds very attentively, minimum. studying Srila Prabhupada's books, developing a real seva attitude. This makes us spiritually strong. It gives us that foundation. This foundation of really connecting to the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada. And then when we go out into these earthquake areas, we can give people shelter rather than being... In other words, we are with respect to them. If we see how Srila Prabhupada was reaching people, Rakskali, they felt he loved them. And even if he chastised, they understood that he was saying it out of compassion, not out of envy or hatred or anger. It's incredible how many of Prabhupada's disciples, when they talk about their memories, they love to talk about how they were chastised by Srila Prabhupada. Have you heard this? Now, if you or me chastise someone like that, they're not going to tell 30 years later how enlivened they were. They usually become disillusioned or depressed or angry. Why is that? Srila Prabhupada invested so much confidence in them that he cared about them, that when he chastised, they understood, they had faith, it was good for them. It was his mercy. That's a foundation. He built a foundation of faith in them. So in that sense, with respect, trying to be relevant to the transformation of people's hearts, we give them Krishna. But we're not taking from them their materialistic ways. We need to have spiritual strength. So we should be strict. We should be strict, but we should also be compassionate. And the compassion naturally develops as we make advancement. But the strictness remains. I think we're out of time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.